Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. Thanks for checking out this podcast from Connecting Faith. You can hear the show live each weekday at noon Central Time, and there are many more podcasts for this and all our Faith Radio shows available online. Our web address is myfaithradio.com. And thanks for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry. Enjoy the podcast.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting Faith with Life.
That's what we seek to do each day on the broadcast, to find ways in which we can apply biblical principles and consider a biblical worldview to daily life. I think today will be a great example of that, and really all week long, just looking at the schedule for the week, some great programs, I think good discussions coming up here in this week. Tomorrow we're going to talk a little bit about how God redeems the story of your life. Jerry Sitzer has been on in the past talking about his book, A Grace Disguised, which is a must-read. A Grace Revealed is a follow-up to that, and he's got quite a story, and you'll really enjoy listening to that discussion tomorrow. And then Wednesday, we'll take a little, it's kind of a journey back to our Christian roots. Jim Belcher was a pastor and a church planter, still is, and was on sabbatical study at Oxford and took his family around Europe to just kind of find out some important places for their Christian faith, and has written about it, In Search of Deep Faith. And we'll get to that on Wednesday. And then Thursday, Does God Care About Our Clutter? Which is, I don't know, Ryan, why am I looking at you when I asked that question?
I did notice, but it's okay.
Sure.
You know, I think it's a great lineup. You talk about the roots of the faith. You talk about clutter.
Yes.
You talk about grace. It's great.
Emphasis on grace on Thursdays. We're talking Jody Watson. She's coming back. She's president of Supreme Organization, author of Purge with Passions. We're going to talk about getting organizational principles from a Christian worldview. And she really has a lot to say about understanding the worldview reasons behind how we keep our house and, you know, car and all those things.
The tentacles of our worldview show up in places that sometimes you would not expect them.
Well, this is a topic that you would wonder, why am I talking about this? Because it has to do with being social. And as you know, I pride myself in being a curmudgeon.
Very friendly curmudgeon, though.
That's true.
Very friendly.
True, yes. And
when you're cornered.
Yes, when I have to be. But I'm looking forward to the discussion today as we talk a little bit about a theology of digital communication. And Ryan, it's good that you're working the board today.
Thank you, sir.
For me, because you actually understand this, and so I may have to lean on you a time or two. But we're going to spend some time talking with Justin Wise about a new book that he's written that came out from Moody Publishing called The Social Church. And Justin's a social media strategist focused on helping people get results from their social media strategy. And he speaks on this topic at conferences and symposiums. And he's a founding partner of Some Company. It's a social marketing agency. And he has a Master's of Divinity from Bethel Seminary. And he is down the road in our Faith Radio Network area of Des Moines today, and we're talking with Justin. Welcome to Connecting Faith, Justin.
Hey guys, really glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
This is a great topic, and one that I'm sure you probably had plenty of questions about as you've sort of built your own business, but even just thought about it. And certainly, you know, having been on a church staff, and you know, having gone through seminary, I mean, there is a lot of question about, you know, how does social media play into what we're doing at church, and to think theologically about that. Because are we ready to be actually sort of thinking theologically about the digital age?
Well, you know, I think the answer to that question, unfortunately for many folks, is, you know, are we ready? Well, we kind of have to get ready. It's like you know, the flood is coming, and in many ways is already here. And, you know, Noah is just kind of dragging his feet building the ark. And in that analogy, you know, the church is Noah. So we got to get to work and build the ark, because the digital flood, you know, the waters are already up to our ankles and our knees, and soon we'll be at our waists. And hopefully it won't get to our necks, but that's another topic for another day.
Yeah. Well, I suppose that, I mean, maybe you've seen it as kind of a strategist and consultant and working with various ministries and organizations that we maybe have just sort of fallen into this. It's like, well, yes, somebody on staff knew a little bit about some aspects of social media, so yeah, let's do that. Or we should have a website, and it probably wasn't necessarily thought out clearly. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm so passionate about this because I see what happens when churches, and you know, we'll just focus on churches in particular. This applies, you know, for nonprofits, for ministries, for businesses as well, but specifically for churches, when, you know, churches really latch on to social and it isn't an afterthought. I can see firsthand what happens for these churches. And quite tangibly, I mean, we're talking their numbers go up. More people are coming. They're attracting new visitors. The people who are at their church in the community already, they're becoming more engaged and they're participate more. And, you know, they're also seeing tithes and offerings going up. And it sounds strange to say, well, social media can accomplish, you know, these major objectives in many churches. But really, when you distill it down, what we're talking about is connecting with people. We're building relationships with social media. That's the power of social, is it connects people and builds relationships. And so when churches leverage that power and that ability to connect with their own people and people who would be a good fit in their community, they see the tangible results that come when those relationships are started, strengthened, and fortified.
Well, let me just maybe jump in at this point and say, you know, if you're involved in a church ministry in any way or a ministry of another kind and want to learn more about how social media, the social media platform could be more effectively used, or you have some questions about that, or maybe just want to wrestle through some of the issues, the theology of digital communication, Justin is your guy to go to today, and you're welcome to give us a call and join in the conversation. We'd love to have you react with us. 877-933-2484 is the phone number. We'll open up the phones right away. 877-93-FAITH. Or you can connect with us online. Go to myfaithradio.com and then click on the Connecting Faith show page. There's an email link there. Or Facebook. It's Connecting Faith with Neil Stavem. And that would be a way that you could do. That's as much social media as I'm aware of. So I'm sure there are others out there. But Justin, let me ask you, is this a platform for real ministry, quote unquote, or is it simply sort of an addition to? I mean, do we maybe get into that part of the theology? Well, it's not real ministry because it's not face to face.
Yeah, I mean, this is definitely a valid question. And this is where I think the church really has an opportunity to really, you know, explore what it means to be an online church, because there are these questions of, well, this is not the way it has always been done for, you know, oh, I don't know, since Jesus was here. You know, the church looks different when you start talking about things like online services. You know, the church that I worked at for years and years, I built our online campus, and we would have people certainly coming and watching services from the area, but we also had people tuning in from all, you know, sorts of different states here in the United States. We had people tuning in from all over the world, and I have to believe, and, you know, after seeing this firsthand, I have to believe that God is perfectly capable of moving and changing lives and bringing light through an internet connection just as easily as he could, let's say, through someone sitting in a service. But having said that, you know, there are real challenges that I think church leaders need to start wrestling with. You know, I know some churches that are doing online baptisms, and you might think, well, how in the world does that work? And, you know, practically speaking, they'll have a pastor, let's say it's on a Skype connection or something, who will be video chatting with a person who wants to be baptized, and that person who wanted to be baptized, they had to go find a sponsor who would actually do the physical act of dunking or pouring on, you know, using pouring water if you're in a different tradition. And that brings up a whole list of questions, but I see an opportunity there because you're seeing the priesthood of all believers at work, where the pastor, yes, is pronouncing the words of baptism or leading the ceremony, but you have a fellow brother or sister in Christ who's actually participating in the ceremony or the ritual, you know, whatever your faith tradition says, of baptism. So I think there's some really unique opportunities that the church has to say, what does ministry look like, you know, with a heavy online influence? And, you know, this is something that's not new to the church. We've always had to deal with changes in technology. You know, back in Luther's day, Martin Luther, of course, when he leveraged the printing press, they were ready to literally chop his head off for doing so. And it was just a question of who's going to push against the cultural norms and trends that we're facing here today.
So is this, I mean, is social media and some of the changes there, is that on par with like the printing press or, you know, maybe back in what, England developing Sunday school to teach the kids or electric lights to do Sunday night services, those kind of things?
Yeah, absolutely. And in fact, I think when we look at it, you know, of course, there's no way of actually knowing this, but I think when history plays out and we look back on this time period in 100, 150, 200 years, we are going to see that the shift that we're feeling now in the church will make the printing press revolution and the Protestant Reformation that was really sparked by, you know, a whole host of things, but certainly a large contributor to that was the leveraging of the printing press. I think it will dwarf anything in history of what we're experiencing now in terms of transition, the speed at which churches are required to change, the vastness of social media and all the different aspects of life that it touches. I think what we're experiencing now will be the largest shift and change in the way that human beings communicate that we have yet to see as a species. So it's going to be a big deal, I think, is what I'm getting at.
It's worth reflecting on it. We're going to continue our conversation in a minute, and we'd love to have you join in as we talk with Justin Wise. You know, if you're an advocate of social media or you just want to learn how to better use the new technologies to further the kingdom of God, or maybe have some questions about it. We're talking about a theology of digital communication. That's the subtitle of Justin's new book called The Social Church. And Justin is a social media strategist and has founded a company. It's a social marketing company. He has an MDiv and trains church communicators. He's taught at the college level, does some adjunct professor work at Drake University. And joining us today to talk about the social church, we've got 5 copies of the book to give away. And we'd love to have you sign up for it. It'd be something that you could certainly pass on to maybe someone on your church team or something that you would appreciate as you think about your part in maybe volunteering, serving in your local church or ministry. And join the conversation with a question or two, 877-933-2484. It's 877-933-2484. More with Justin Wise in a moment, and we'll take your calls as you join with us. 877-93-FAITH. It's 18 past the hour. Talking today about theology of digital communication as we talk particularly about social media and the church. The Social Church, the title of the new book from Justin Wise. Justin is a social media strategist. He has a company, created a company that does social media marketing. He also has a MDiv and has worked at one of the largest Lutheran churches in the country, Lutheran Church of Hope, and does some adjunct work at Drake University in the area of communication, teaching public relations, and more. And we're talking today about social media, how we as the church should look at this, at least consider it, and let's maybe talk about communication first. Maybe what we really mean by social media, in case people are, you know, what does that incorporate, or you know, is it a static definition, or is it changing all the time?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think it's definitely always changing, for sure. I mean, right now, that's a term that if you were to say to, you know, the majority of people on the street, hey, do you know what the term social media means? They would say yes, but they would probably give you, you know, yes, 10 different people, they'd give you 10 different answers. But I, you know, by and large, I think we all have this common understanding that social media involves, you know, networks or platforms or websites through which we communicate online. I mean, I think if you broke it down to its very basic definition, that's what you'd find. But, you know, I think we're fast approaching a time where social media will seem redundant. And in many ways, it already is. Media has always been social in that we create media forms. And what do we do with them? We share them, whether it was a painting or whether it was a drawing on a cave wall or whether it was a short story, radio broadcast. Media has always been social in that sense. But again, that's another topic for a different day. So I think what we're experiencing now with online communication, social media, you know, media, to give you an example, like my son, he, we'll cook dinner sometimes, my wife and I will, together, and so we'll put Finn in front of a show or something like that, just something to keep him busy while we're getting ready. And we've caught him a few times standing at the television screen, poking it and trying to move the figures around as if it was an iPad. And it was just very telling for me because to him, he's four and a half. To him, media is interactive. Media it's a two-way street for him. It's interactive. It's social, if you could use that term. But I think we'll see more and more of that, where media will just be understood to be inherently social, meaning interactive, participatory, flexible. We can contribute to the overall experience. But yeah, I definitely think it's changing and shifting around.
Which, again, brings new challenges to churches, particularly ministries, and all of us, really. How do we use it? How do we use it wisely? And we're talking about that, the theology of digital communication today with Justin Wise. And you talk about, media, and of course, there's the well-known writer, communicator, Marshall McLuhan, had that line about the media is the medium is the message. But so let's talk a little bit about how this particular way of communicating influences and shapes the message. I mean, and how that what theological perspective we should take into that.
Yeah, I mean, this is I dabbled a little bit in the book on this particular subject for a couple different reasons. Number one, I thought this idea of the medium is the message. And when we say that, you know, for those who aren't familiar with that term, it just basically means the package that a message is sent through actually influences the message itself. So you communicate differently through a tweet, 140 characters, than you would, let's say, a novel. The message that you send through each of those two different platforms is actually altered by the fact that, you know, on one side you have a tweet, which is very short and compact. On the other side, you have a novel where you're able to expound on some ideas. And so those platforms kind of form constraints around our message. But I felt like it was important to discuss that because it has, number one, had such a profound impact on me as a communicator. That was something that, you know, I learned in college. I was a communications major at the University of Northern Iowa, and I don't remember much about my college education, but I do remember this day in class when we discovered this because it was so, like I said, influential. So it's just been personally impactful. And then also I feel like with our churches, and after seeing this firsthand, you know, we're starting to see a shift in the way that the gospel is communicated. And for a long time, it was open-air preaching, and that medium, so to speak, had an influence on the message that was communicated. Doesn't mean the message changed. It just means that when you're speaking to a group in the open air, let's say, without any, amplification or anything like that, you're going to pick and choose different things to emphasize of the gospel, let's say, whereas let's say now you fast forward to the majority of our church services on Sunday mornings, we have amplification. We have a set kind of format for our services. And so it's going to influence what we emphasize, which parts of the gospel message that we emphasize. And to think otherwise, I think, is dishonest. And so I felt like that was something really important to think through when we do talk about communicating the gospel through digital channels, where by all accounts, you know, we're moving into a 2, maybe even 3 screen viewing experience, right? So what I mean by that is, take a look around. When you're in your next Sunday morning service, whether you're listening to this and you're a pastor, or you're just, and not just, but you're a lay leader, you're a member, take a look around and take inventory. What are people doing? If you're sitting and watching the message, the sermon, whatever you call it, take stock and watch what people are doing. And I would venture to guess you'll see quite a few people doing what? Flipping through their mobile phones. And here's what I've come to realize. And this will all kind of come full circle. Here's what I've come to realize after studying this and talking with influential leaders and folks who really know way more about this stuff than I do, is that our new media culture comes with a certain set of embedded values. And one of those embedded values is interactivity. So when we talk about medium is the message, we're using a medium, let's just take, you know, a 45-minute sermon, for instance. That's a medium. We're using a medium that doesn't really connect as well as it probably could with an emerging new media culture. And so that new media culture, because they value things like interactivity, they're going to build interactivity into their worship experience one way or another. And so they go through and they tweet sermon quotes, or they tag their friends on Facebook after taking a picture with them while they're sitting in their seats. Or they say, hey, you know, Pastor Mike had a really great sermon. Here's a 6-second video clip that I'm going to upload to Vine or to Instagram. And so they're building interactivity in because the medium for them needs to be interactive in order to fully absorb that message. I hope that made sense.
Yes, and it just meant it does create a whole new set of challenges, doesn't it?
I mean, yeah, absolutely.
Because, I mean, we traditionally the way that we do church, at least sort of the formal worship part, hasn't been particularly interactive, I guess. I mean, there's been maybe the call and response kinds of things, and some have more maybe liturgical, but interactive, generally it's more lecture-like.
Yeah, and I, you know, some folks will get up, they'll get frustrated by this, and the reality, like, and many times it's folks in leadership. So, man, why are people looking at their iPads, or why do people have their mobile phones? And I even, you know that there are churches who will tell people, hey, put your phones away before we start service here. They may not say it like that, but that's what they're certainly inferring. And I think that's a really dangerous road to go down, because you're essentially saying to the people in your community, you know, we don't want you to communicate in a way that's comfortable, that you're comfortable with. We want you to come to the table on our terms. And anybody who, you know, looks at the gospel, they see Jesus, and this is where I think Jesus is so helpful for many other reasons, but certainly for communication, his communication style. He often came to people on their own terms. You know, the example that I use in the book is the woman at the well. He doesn't make her come to him. He goes to where she's at and speaks to her on her level, and her entire life changes. And so I think our churches ought to model that scenario.
We'll pick up that story after the break and invite you to join in as we talk to Justin Wise about The Social Church, A Theology of Digital Communication. We've got some copies to give away. Great discussion ahead. Love to have you join in. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. Well, it's 32 past the hour, and you're listening to Connecting Faith. And today we've connected with, it's digitally, right? We're not really actually face-to-face, but that still counts as a connection, I think.
I was trying to imagine what it looked like, the actual phone wires, and I think you're right that it is digital information,
Today. It's perfect. Justin Wise is a social media strategist who's focused on helping people get results from their social media strategies. The founding partner of Some Company, it's a social marketing agency, and he has also worked in the church for a number of years, helping with the digital communication as an MDiv from Bethel Seminary, and has does some adjunct work at Drake University, and has written a wonderful book called The Social Church, A Theology of Digital Communication. And we'd love to have you join the conversation. If you have some questions about, you know, the whole area of theology and how we use social media to effectively reach our community, our world, and connect with each other. And, in fact, maybe we'll just jump in and take this call right away since Jennifer's called in, has some questions about the church reaching out to the younger generation. Jennifer, you're on with Justin Wise. Go ahead.
Hi, Justin. I guess it's pretty much a comment. I totally agree with you, and it is a lectured-style sermon, and I think that the church as a whole needs to upgrade, and by upgrading, they need to upgrade, like, that part of reaching the younger generation, and once they upgrade that sit-down lecturing to them and reach them more, then they will reach them more on the level that they're at. But then at that same time, would that take out the sacred of the message?
Yeah, well, I think that's the question, isn't it? What do we sort of give up in order to gain maybe a better connection?
Yeah. Hi, Jennifer, by the way. Thank you so much for chiming in here. And I think, it's important to I was just talking to a friend of mine, actually, who works at a church, a larger church down south, and he was talking about how they have made a call. This is so interesting to me. It was fascinating. So this is a church that if I said their name, everybody would know what the church is. But he said to me, we made a proactive call to our city government and said, hey, in about 15 years, we're going to have a building that we don't know what to do with. Do you want to start talking now about opening a fine arts center or a community gathering space? And when he said it, I was floored. At first I was like, was this a joke? But he was absolutely dead serious, because what he ended up telling me was that, we're starting to see the trends, and we're realizing that and this is the term he used, so I'm just going to use it, but he said the mega church model of church, at least in this particular region, was definitely on its way out, he felt. And this is one of the most well-informed, well-researched people that I know. So I have to, trust that what he's seeing is truth. He's well-connected. He talks to a lot of different people. But it hits at what I think we're discussing here is that the model of church that many evangelical churches are operating under and many mainline denominations as well, I think that model is starting to change, and we're becoming much more focused on discipleship as a church. And what my friend went on to say was, and this is all his words, by the way, but I definitely agree with him, is that discipleship works best on a one-to-one level. That's why Jesus focused on 12 different disciples. And even within those 12, he had three that he really spent an overabundance amount of time with. And I think what we're seeing in the church is a shift back to this discipleship model, where we start focusing relationally on people. And this is where I think social brings such a unique opportunity, because we do have the ability now to connect with people all over the globe on a one-to-one level. So when a church sends out a tweet and someone responds back, they have an ability in that moment to connect one-on-one with someone who is either at their church or potentially could be a part of their community. And so I definitely think that the role of the message, although still vitally important for nurturing and teaching and edification and bolstering of faith, it's super important. But I think we're starting to see discipleship becoming more important. And so that's kind of driving the changes that we're seeing in churches, which I think social can play a huge part in.
Well, let me follow up with Jennifer's question, your comments, because you quote Neil Postman in his wonderful book, Amusing Ourselves to Death. He says you cannot use smoke to do philosophy, and the idea is that smoke signals are only going to work to to a certain extent. I mean, I would think the same as maybe with Twitter. I mean, if you only have 140 characters, is that really going to communicate the gospel in a way that it needs to be communicated?
Yeah, I mean, this is a huge learning point that took me, I would say, years to figure out. And I'll give an example. So for our church, when I was doing social media for our church, I would send out Bible verses. I would send out, sermon quotes. I would send out devotionals. You know, what I found was that I would get some feedback, some engagement, some interaction, but it was always with the same people, the same group of people, and it was never, ever, 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 at least to my knowledge, with a non-Christian or someone who wasn't a follower of Jesus. And so it made me step back and say, okay, social seems to work well for this, but if the church's call is to go and make disciples, then there's a component of social that is not connecting with that charge. And so I had to step back and ask the question, well, why is that happening? And it occurred to me, non-Christians probably aren't going to relate real well to Bible verses. I mean, it hit me like a bolt of lightning. And so I thought, well, how can I leverage social to build relationships with people who didn't follow Jesus? And it led to this concept that I talk about in the book called rubbing elbows. So we have the ability now as believers, as followers of Jesus, to go into places that we never would be able to otherwise and connect with people that would never cross our path normally. I'll give you an example. One of my favorite examples of this is from a woman who I've kept in contact with through the years. She is an atheist, although she's actually an agnostic, but I dare not correct her. I don't want to get into that. But anyway, we have struck up a friendship all through Twitter, and I have nurtured that relationship. And, she said something to me a while back ago. She said, yeah, I was doing some work around the house, and I had your church's online service playing as I was doing the work. And I was like, it hit me like a ton of bricks because, here's a woman who had said, I'll never go to church. I don't ever want anything to do with the church. I think the church is, corrupt and greedy and da-da-da-da-da. But here she was allowing the church to come to her through her internet connection. And that's when my whole worldview changed. And I thought, there are some amazing opportunities that the church has to say, okay, you may not come to us, but we can come to you and we can relate to you on your terms. And so I have a friendship now and struck up a friendship through this woman on Twitter. And we knew each other from high school, but just stayed in touch. And now she knows where I stand, and we're able to kind of talk through some of the stuff that, she's watching and learning through the church's online campus. Huge opportunity for us to go into the places that we may not have the opportunity to do otherwise.
I'm going to follow up in a moment and talk about how we can rub elbows, quote unquote, online without proselytizing, get some insight from Justin on that. But let's check in with the Dean, who's listening to Faith 1200, Exelena Winnipeg, and calling the show today. Dean, you're on with Justin Wise. Go ahead.
Hey there. Hi, Justin.
Hey,
Justin,
Dean.
Justin, I had a question. I'm part of a church here. We just recently celebrated 75 years of church ministry here in Winnipeg. I've been around for about the last 8 of those, and we have a large amount of our congregation that's quite elderly, but a growing youth and young adult congregation as well. Change is hard to come by, it seems, at times. What are some ways, and I really do appreciate this topic here today because it's very relevant to where our church is at and needing to transition here. In a body that is resistant to change, what are some ways that we can take some small steps towards some positive change in this area?
Yeah, Dean, this is a great question, and it's one that, as you can imagine, I hear quite a bit, because we are dealing not only with change, but rapid, fast-moving, necessary change, which makes it like 10 times scarier. So not only are we changing the way that we communicate, but we're also seeing generational transitions as well. as baby boomers retire and millennials kind of take the pulpit, so to speak, millennials and Gen Xers for that matter, kind of rise up in those leadership positions. And it's kind of like this perfect storm of change that is absolutely terrifying to many, many, many congregations. And so in terms of what to actually do to kind of get Forrester uses the term laggards. Now, that can sometimes be seen as a derogatory term, so I just prefer those folks who desire to be well-informed before they make a change.
All right, I'm going with that because you were meddling there for a minute there. But
I prefer the term well-informed.
Good, all right.
You know, the change isn't going to happen outside of a relational context. Here's what I mean by that. I was speaking at a conference, this was about a year and a half ago, and we were having this discussion, and it was getting quite heated, in fact. I was more of a moderator, facilitator for the people in the room. There's probably 100 people in the room, and this topic kind of got dropped on the table. And like I said, it was getting kind of heated, and I saw a hand go up in the back. I picked on, asked the woman, I said, "Hey, do you have something to add?" She says, "Yes." This is probably a 75-year-old woman. And she says, "Change will not happen unless you can get people to care about why they should change." And she went to give on an example of how in her church, one of the ways that they changed, so to speak, was they said, hey, it was an older congregation. They went through a sermon series and basically said, here's what's at stake. This is how think of your grandchildren. Think of your children. This is how they communicate. And then they gave examples of, Facebook, Twitter, blogs, YouTube, these sorts of things. This is how they communicate. This is how they receive their news. This is how they talk with each other and have community and fellowship. And if our church does not get active in these channels, we are going to, again, think of your children, think of your grandchildren. We are going to miss out on bringing what God has called us to do to that entire generation. And so she shared all these examples and went through it, and it was unbelievable to see the mood in the room shift after she gave that example. But the point she was making was you have to make this tangible and touchable for the people in your congregation where they have to say, hey, this is how this is how my grandchildren communicate, and I would, I want someone to talk their language and bring the gospel to them, so why wouldn't we make the same change to bring the gospel to other people's grandchildren, other people's children? It was terribly effective for them as a church. And it's one way to say, hey, if we're going to do change, we need to make this touchable, tangible. We have to put a face on this change. Otherwise, it's just going to remain scary, and people are going to remain highly resistant to changing anything unless there's a face to that change.
Coming up in a moment, we'll talk more with Justin Wise, maybe about some of the practical ways that this social media platform could look like for churches, maybe like Dean's Church, just trying to get started, maybe just, or others that have been involved for a long time, but maybe just need to clarify some things. We'll try and get practical here in a moment and invite you to join the conversation. By the way, we do have 5 copies of The Social Church to give away, and it'd be a great resource for you or your church, your ministry team. It would just maybe help you work through some of those issues on your own and your own family. The Social Church, a Theology of Digital Communication. Wise advice from Justin Wise joining us today on Connecting Faith. 877-93-FAITH is the phone number. It's 877-933-2484.
Northwestern, St. Paul. Learn, lead, invest, impact.
That's that old mission hymn, and we want to talk about, sharing the good news of the gospel, but in a way that is relevant. And, I don't know if the Brentwood Jazz, is the style, but maybe there's, a digital media style that would be more effective. In fact, I want to ask Justin Wise a little bit about that. We mentioned about the opportunity to rub elbows, quote-unquote, and I want to find out how do we rub elbows online without proselytizing, and if if he's got some good advice for us just in terms of some of the basics that as a church or a ministry or even as individuals, that if there's some ground rules that we should apply when looking to advance God's kingdom through social media. The Social Church is the book, A Theology of Digital Communications, published by Moody. We've got some copies to give away, and the phone number is 877-93-FAITH. So, Justin, are there some things that we can do or shouldn't do when it comes to sharing faith and communicating the gospel through social media?
Yeah, I have to preface this by saying that I am a firm believer in evangelizing. I am pro-Bible. I am pro. So if there's any feedback or pushback that I get around this particular idea, it's folks who are, you know, well-intentioned, and they say, well, we need to be, you know, communicating the gospel at all times and in all places so that all might hear, and so on and so forth. It's good that folks are, desiring that folks hear about Jesus. I think that what we're seeing, though, is a culture, and when I say culture, I mean a non-Christian, non-Jesus culture, has reached its saturation point of the typical methods that we have used in churches to, quote-unquote, get folks on board. And so I think we're seeing a pushback on that from the culture, and it doesn't mean it doesn't work. It doesn't mean that our standard, you know, Romans Road, the four, I don't remember, four or five spiritual laws, that sort of thing, doesn't mean they don't work. It just means that it may be time to try something different and something new. And so when we talk about using social as sort of an evangelistic bridge, the quote comes to mind of the great Alan Hirsch. Alan Hirsch says that the gospel is transmitted along relational lines. I love that quote for many, many different reasons, but what I find is that social media is a great way to start and facilitate and nurture relationships with people. And so what that looks like is, you know, I know one church that they follow everyone on Twitter within a 15-mile radius of their church. And it's really interesting. You can do this on Twitter. You can locate and, you know, get down to 5, 10, 15-mile radius of where you're actually at. And so they follow essentially everybody in their city. And then they just start talking to people. They don't say, hey, here's a tract. Hey, here's, you know, the daily Bible verse for today. They just start talking to people about the city that they're in. Or they'll tweet out, you know, events in the city that doesn't have anything to do with their church. It just has to deal with more of like, hey, here's what's going on in our community. This information may be helpful to you if you want to have a great weekend or if you have kids. Hey, there's a farmer's market. They're doing face painting down there. Might be fun to take the kids down there. And what they're doing essentially is building relationships. I mean, think of it like, you know, you go to a party, and who's the one person that you don't want to get stuck to talking at a party? Well, it's the guy or gal who talks about themselves all the time. Because all they care about is making sure you know how great they are or what they're up to. They have no interest in building that relationship. And so churches and Christians, I think, have a huge opportunity to start building and nurturing and facilitating relationships with people on interests and subjects other than our faith. And it's when we establish those relational lines, you know, that's when people can get a picture into our lives of, you know, oh, hey, I follow Justin, and he tweets about, you know, the sports teams that he's watching. He tweets about the food that he's eating. He tweets about this cool article that he wrote. Oh, and he also tweets about, you know, he just sent a picture out of him and his family at Easter service. And hopefully they're thinking, and Justin is somebody that I enjoy following. I like getting to know him. I wonder, and, you know, he doesn't seem to be like one of those Looney Tunes Christians who's picketing funerals and such. And so that's ultimately the goal, is to get people to see, like, as Christians, as followers of Jesus, we care about the same things. We're just regular people who also happen to follow this amazing God. And we give people a picture into our lives of what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus, but also to see kind of what our life is like when we're not at church. And I think that's a really important aspect of social. It's not present this front that we have it all together. not present this front that all we do is sit and read our Bible all the time, but that we're normal people who happen to follow an amazing God.
Justin, for those that may be on a pastoral staff or are, you know, in ministry staff, you know, most, you know, that we know of have some limitations in their resources. So are there some guidelines that at what level should a church engage with social media? I mean, is this really a good use of staff time and resources?
Yeah, I mean, this is another great question that comes up frequently. And I would say this. So my suggestion would be to make sure that if you are going to invest in social media, and that's really how you have to look at it, in the same way you invest in most churches listening to this, invest in an office administrator or administrative assistant to answer the phones and answer mail, social media is kind of the same type of investment where, you know, you have to make sure that your community is active on social. So that kind of goes without saying. You know, don't just launch out into social without first identifying where the needs are with social media. So you may have, a congregation, and I keep using the word congregation. Hopefully everyone knows what I mean. That's not an outdated term now. I'm Lutheran. Blame it on being Lutheran. Hopefully that, you know, your congregation is active on some form of social media channel, and I think it's your responsibility to find out where. So when you do make an investment, you're not building camp in the wrong spot, so to speak. So I think that's first and foremost, identify where the need is, and then ask your community, hey, what types of information, what would be most helpful for us to post? What types of content would be most helpful for you to get on our channels? And then, you know, 2/3 of the work is done because you've identified. And you can do this in a very simple survey. You can send a survey out through SurveyMonkey.com, through WooFoo. Google Docs is a free survey-taking tool. And you ask them a few simple questions. Where are you now in terms of social platforms? And what type of information do you want from us on those platforms? 2/3 of the work is done. Then you just have to create that content. And in terms of, you know, investing resources, I have seen social media be one of the most effective ways to use social in churches is by leveraging volunteers. So I would venture to guess anybody listening to this, whether your church is 50 people or 50,000, there are people in your church who love social media. They love being active on social. They get it. They understand it. And those folks are just waiting for a tap on the shoulder from leadership to say, hey, we know that you know this, and you may even know this better than we do. So we want to help you facilitate the big idea, the message of this church through social media. And you put checks and balances in. You put a few different guardrails in place so people don't go bonkers or off the wall. But I've seen churches leverage volunteers very effectively, in particular with social media. And it does two things. It obviously cuts down on the resources needed from a staff perspective, but it also does the work of building the church, the priesthood of all believers, and creating a communal experience and moving the mission of the church from one point to another.
Good, wise advice today from Justin Wise as we talk about the social church, a theology of digital communication. And Justin, I know we chatted before the show that the socialchurchbook.com would be a good place to go for people that just want to find a little bit more, maybe engage in the conversation about this, right?
Yeah, that's where we've got a lot of great information. We shot a book trailer in Times Square, so people can go and check that out. It just kind of gives an overview of the book. If folks are wondering, too, they can also download a free chapter. The first chapter, I think, is what we have up there, so they can actually get a feel for what the book is about. But we've really just tried to make that site, obviously, aside from, hey, here's a book, we think you should buy it. We want to make sure that it's a place where people can go and kind of get handlebars around social media and what it means for the church. So, yeah, the site's socialchurchbook.com, and I'd love if people would go and just get a feel for the book and download the first chapter, and if they like it, the rest of the book is there as well.
Wonderful. Justin Wise, social media strategist, who does consulting, speaks at national conferences and leadership of symposiums, founding partner of some companies, a social marketing agency. He has an MDiv from Bethel Seminary and has worked in several areas in churches, and particularly communication, teaching public relations as an adjunct professor at Drake University, and has written a great resource called The Social Church, A Theology of Digital Communication. You can find it at socialchurchbook.com, plus a lot of other great resources. And I hope that if you've missed part of today's show, you can catch it online. The podcast is available at myfaithradio.com. That's myfaithradio.com. Just click on the Connecting Faith show page and then pass it on to a friend and start your own social media work. Thanks for listening to Connecting Faith.